bear with me for just a moment. Gracious Master,
yes, Lord.
We come before you this morning. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for keeping us, as Pastor said, last week, even last night. In the midst of all the turmoil or the trouble in this world, we thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Gracious Master, we love you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this pastor, his family, but his wonderful spirit, Lord. And gracious Master, have all of us here at South Bay Abundant Life lift him up in prayer, but support him as well, oh gracious Master. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you and deliver your word to these your people. Gracious Master, I ask the following, that first of all, you are glorified. I ask that your people be magnified from this, they be uplifted from this, but you be magnified and they be uplifted, Lord. And when it's all over said and done, that someone may be able to use this message during a difficult time in their life, or just any time in their life, and that someone, if prompted by the leading of the Holy Spirit, will ask that Jesus come into their life and that they be saved. We ask it all. Speak through me. We ask it all. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
It was about 6 years ago. I got an email message from a very good friend of mine. And they had, we had lost contact, and they informed me that they were dealing with cancer. And so I called her on the phone and I said, cancer, breast cancer? She said, yes. She said, I found out 3 years ago. I said, 3 years ago? She said, yes. And I've been dealing with it for 3 years now. And I'm trying to become a cancer survivor. So as we talked, I asked her about her family support. I asked what was going on, and she said, well, I really don't have much support from my family. And as a matter of fact, this week, there's been some additional complications, and I don't have anyone to go with me to the doctor. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I've got some time off. I'll come into town and I will go with you to your physician's appointment and, you know, support you during this particular period of time. And so when I got to her house, I rang the doorbell, and it took maybe 10 minutes before she finally came to the door. And when she came to the door, she was exhausted, and I could see the weariness on her face. I could see the exhaustion. She was just tired. And so we got into the house, and she said, let me make myself a pot of tea. And as I began to watch her move around, she was no longer this vibrant, energetic person that I had known for years. And I could see she was discouraged. So I said, why are you so discouraged? She said, I'm tired. She said, I'm just tired. I've gone through so much, I'm just tired. And I said, well, you have no reason to be discouraged because you are a child of the Lord, and I know you believe in the awesome power of God. So why are you giving up? And then she stood up erect and she bristled at me. She got a little angry. And she said, don't question my belief in the power of God. Don't question my faith in what God can do for me. I know what God can do for me. I know what he will do for me. And then she said, believing that God will bring you through something doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And she said, faith makes it possible, but not easy. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And our subject for this morning is faith makes things possible,
all right,
but not easy. The first thing that I want you to know is that faith makes it possible to believe in a better tomorrow. Now, don't get too excited about that, because we're not talking about fortune cookie better tomorrow. We're not talking about lottery ticket better tomorrow. We're not talking about promotion better tomorrow. We're not talking about new spouse better tomorrow, another spouse better tomorrow, children acting right tomorrow. That's not what the writer in this passage is actually talking about.
Break it down, Pastor Manny. Break it down.
And when I went through that passage, I looked at it and I said, well, what is he talking about? And I had to go back to chapter 10. The Hebrews, in the recipients of these letters, were Hebrews who were being persecuted. They were going through a very difficult time because they were turning away from the Levitical law and the old covenant and accepting the new covenant, that being Jesus Christ. And they were being heavily persecuted for turning away from the old Levitical law and saying, we have now accepted Christ as our personal Savior. We're now placing faith in this new covenant. They were being severely ostracized and criticized and mistreated and humiliated in public. And some of them had even lost their homes. So what the writer says is, he says, listen, don't worry about all of that, because you have got something greater in store for you, and that being your eternal inheritance, which is in heaven. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on Jesus Christ. Don't turn your back on the gospel. Don't turn your back on the message about Jesus Christ because of what you are going through, because this is not the be end all of everything.
All right.
You have something better in store for you, but it's not right here. When we look at our experience as a believer, somehow faith has become synonymous with the acquisition of certain things in this life. And we stop right there. We live more for this life than we do for eternal life. Quite frankly, some things have not changed for any of us. Tomorrow, you're going to go back to that same old job with those same old people and those same old problems.
Right.
Tomorrow, tonight, you're going to go to bed with that prince who you were married to who's now a frog. Or that princess you were married to who's now a frogette. And that situation ain't going to change. You're going to continue to deal with some of the same things over and over and over again. In this life, faith makes it possible to deal with that, but it doesn't make it easy.
Right.
But here's the thing. God has something better in store for us in the next life versus this life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 19. And when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Give you just a few more moments. And actually, Paul in this book, to get a better context of what he's saying, actually started verse 12, but we'll just read verse 19. He says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we of all men are most to be pitied. In other words, if the only reason why you're serving God, if the only reason why you believe in Jesus Christ is to get things in this life, you've truly missed the point. That's not what Jesus Christ died for. Jesus died for you to have eternal life.
All
Now, don't get me wrong. Because we trust him, because we believe in him, amen, he does bless us in this life as well. But that should not be your focus. Because when you think about all the things that you go through, all the hell you go through in this life, if this is it, then what's the purpose of serving him?
Amen.
God has got something better for us, and that being eternal life. That's where our focus should be.
Amen.
Living life for the next life. And when you focus on living life for the next life, he blesses you in this life.
Right.
Faith makes things possible, but not easy. The second thing I want you to see is that faith makes it possible to believe that God can do the incredible. Let's go to verse 3. Let's see what it says in verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Things are made by things that are not visible. All right. About 35 years ago, I had a temporary bout with insanity. I just lost my mind and decided there was no God. I went to college, and as Pastor Carton and I was talking about yesterday, college can really mess you up. I started studying anthropology, psychology, microbiology, and I was an engineering major, so I was really heavily into physics. And when I got into physics, physics showed me proof that God didn't exist.
All right.
And so I became a closet atheist, because there wasn't nowhere in the world I was going to go home and say that to my mom and my dad. Just wasn't going to do that. So I became an atheist. I said, there is no God. Science proves there is no God. But there was something that was wrong with this whole Big Bang theory. You see, everything has to have what's called a sufficient cause or a necessary cause. And physics could not explain the necessary cause.
Right.
What made it happen in the first place? Who put the materials there to make it happen in the first place? Physics couldn't explain that for me. Natalie, will you pull up that next slide for me? Now, this is going to be a bunch of mumbo jumbo, but just stay with me for a minute. I'm going to tie it back in and all in for you. How many of you have heard of what's called the Higgs boson? One person, she's heard of it. It's called the Higgs boson, or it's called the guard particle. See, in 1960, they came up with this theory that everything that is made, that possibly can be made, boils down to this one single element that they had yet to actually physically discover. It was called the Higgs boson. Now, that was in the 60s. Now, I lost my mind 20 years after that. Fortunately, I came back to my senses. Praise the Lord. Now, watch this. In 2008, they developed what's called the LHC, which is the Large Hadron Collider. And what this is a 17-mile circle. And what they do is they put subatomic particles in that, and they make them go around in a circle slightly slower than the speed of light, and then they make them collide. And they were trying to find the Higgs boson. Now, as you read that up there, it was finally discovered in 2013. They finally discovered it. But look what it says there toward the end. The writer says, the last piece of the Standard Model was finally proven to exist. And watch this. And we're closer to understanding what 4% of the universe is. Closer. They still don't understand what it is yet. The other 96% are still a total mystery. They ain't got it yet. Now look at the second part. Now this really just tripped me out right here. And look at the bold part. What they're saying is that everything that's holding the galaxy together should actually be tearing it all apart. So how can something that's holding it together be tearing it apart at the same time? I don't need science to tell me that. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 1. Verses 1 through 3. Let's go there first. And I'm going to tell you what science is having a problem with. Because as you see at the bottom of that, it says the same is true for galaxy and clusters, which lead scientists to believe that something we cannot see is at work. Well, I'm going to tell you what's at work. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We ain't done yet. We ain't done. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 16. When you're there, say amen. Amen. It says, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. I don't need gravity to tell me who's holding what together. God is. We're not done. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And it says this. When you're there, say amen. Let me give you time to get there. Amen. I hear pages still turning. Hebrews 1, starting at verse 2. It says, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. And I'm going to just stop right there. Science can neither prove or disprove God. God said it in His word. I believe it, and that settles it. And that's all you need to know. We have an incredible God that is doing incredible things, but how does that relate to you? Because God is holding everything that there is, was, and is to come together, guess what? He can hold together the things in your life. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with, God can hold it all together. But herein lies the problem. What about when this incredible God with incredible power and incredible might doesn't move in your experience as a believer?
Right.
What happens when you call on Him and you know what He can do, but He doesn't do it? Does that invalidate that He's an incredible God? No, it doesn't. Does that invalidate the fact that He has incredible power? No, it doesn't. The credibility of God should never come into question because He has not done that which is incredible in your life. He is still an incredible God that's doing incredible things. But the problem is that every now and then we lose faith. Every now and then we give up. Every now and then we want to take things under control and try to do things on our own. Amen. We still serve an incredible God with incredible power that's doing incredible things. Amen. Faith makes it possible, but not easy. The third thing I want you to see is that faith makes it possible for God to do the incredible through you. Say what? Now, some of y'all are saying, wait a minute, what about for me? God makes it, faith makes it possible to do the incredible through you. So when we go through Hebrews chapter 11 and we look at the heroes of faith.
All right.
Noah. God saved Noah, but through Noah, all mankind was preserved. Because Noah believed, had faith, God saved him and his family, but look what he done through him.
Right.
Abraham and Sarah had a child long after it was time for them to have kids.
Right.
But look at what God did through them. Not only did he make Abraham the father of a large nation, but he said also, through your seed, all nations will be blessed.
Amen.
Look at what he did through Rahab.
All right.
A harlot. Look at what he did through her. And then in Matthew chapter 1, we find the name Rahab listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If God can do something through a harlot, then surely he can do something through you. And Moses, look at what he did through Moses. Moses had to be hidden. Then he had to leave. And after 430 years of slavery, God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. You see, God wants to do something through you, but as a result, when you are obedient and have faith, you end up having something done for you. How many times have we actually prayed for God to do something through us? I mean, quite honestly, we're just like kids at Christmas when we pray. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. God, I need a new job. God, I need a new car. God, I need a new home. God, fix this frog I'm laying next to. God, fix my marriage. God, heal me from cancer. God, heal these body aches that I'm having. God, deal with every single thing that I'm going through.
All right. Amen.
We always come to God with a list of what we want God to do for us versus through us. Now watch this. God doesn't have to do anything incredible like part the Red Sea through you. Sometimes just a simple word of prayer for someone is incredible.
Amen.
Sometimes just going to a coworker and saying, is everything all right? That's incredible.
All right.
The story is told of a man who went into a cafe, and he had made up his mind that he was going to go kill his wife and his family and her family and then himself. And he said, if just one person says a kind word to me, then I will not do this. So he came into the cafe and he sat down at the bar in the cafe. And a man walked up to him and said, good morning. How are you doing? Because of that one thing that man said, the guy came back later on and said, because he showed me kindness, because he showed that he cared, because he asked about me, I didn't go kill my wife, my family, and her family, and myself. You see, God wants to do the incredible through you. And when you exercise your faith, faith applied will also allow him to do things for you.
All right.
But God wants to use you for his glory and for his purpose. Faith makes it possible for God to do the incredible through you.
Amen.
And some of you are thinking, me? Yes, you. Just a kind word. That's all it takes. Just stopping someone and saying good morning to them.
Amen.
Something simple as that may turn someone's life around. Amen. Yesterday in our men's leadership, one of the men said, as he's at work, people are coming in saying, I noticed something different about you.
Right.
I see something different about you. What is it? And he said, I know it's Jesus. So when people come in and they see him in the hospital, something incredible as how he is living his life has a propensity to change someone else's life. You see, God wants to do that which is incredible through you, but not always for you.
All right, all right.
And then finally, faith makes things possible, but not easy. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and starting at the 32nd verse. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and in mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Now watch this. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, watch this, did not receive what was promised. That's what the writer is saying for those readers, but also for us. When you look at what the heroes of old went through,
right,
faith made it possible, but not easy.
Amen.
They didn't receive the promise of Jesus Christ that we have. But yet they went through it all, seeing it at a distance, knowing that they wasn't going to get it. So why are we discouraged? When we look at Elijah, Elijah had to live in caves and had ravens bring him water and food in the morning and in the evening.
Amen.
Moses had to run and hide and go to another land and dwell as a shepherd for 40 years. There was nothing easy about that. Jeremiah was lowered down into a pit full of muck and mire up to his waist and had to stand there until somebody delivered him out. There was nothing easy about that. Abraham lied a couple of times about who his wife was. Then had to send away a child that he had that God didn't tell him to have because he was trying to help God out because he didn't know how God was going to do what God said he was going to do. There was nothing easy about that. Daniel in the lion's den. Nothing easy about that. When you look at their experience, there was nothing easy about what they went through. Faith makes it easy. Faith makes it possible, I'm sorry, but not easy.
Amen.
So when you're going through your experience as a believer, as you're dealing with the difficult times in your life, just remember this. It's not going to be easy, but faith makes it possible. You see, we all want to tell Christian war stories. Now, what's a Christian war story? So Christian war story is, brother, man, look here, I was dealing with this and the Lord brought me through. People always hear the beginning and they always hear the end. But they don't hear what you did during the middle.
All right, all right.
You see, we don't tell people, I felt like giving up. We don't tell people of the days and nights that we cried. We don't tell people how we walked the floor in the middle of the night. We don't tell people how we worried when the past due bill came in. We don't tell people how we were afraid when the doctor said there is no hope. We don't tell people the struggles with our children. We don't tell people how our marriages were falling apart. We don't tell people everything that we were going through. All we tell them is the beginning and the end. What people need to hear is a story in the middle, because that's where faith is truly applied.
Amen. Amen.
That's where it gets real to the person that you're witnessing to. Because then they say, and you didn't give up, and you didn't throw in the towel,
right,
and you didn't put your Bible away, You're still serving God. You're still believing in God. You're still trusting in God. You're still holding on to his hands. Why didn't you give up? And you say, faith made it possible, but not easy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this moment. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is our prayer, gracious Master, that someone who heard this word will exercise their faith in you and trust you for their eternal salvation. If there is one right now who has never experienced the joy of having a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, will you please come? And if there's one who is looking for a church home, Pastor Carter is a wonderful pastor. He's a man that, and it may not mean much to you, that I'm willing to follow. And I'm following him as he follows Christ. He would love to be your pastor. And we would love to have you worship amongst us. And if there's one who wants to come for rededication, who's saying, Lord, I just can't seem to get it right, but I want to come back. And I want to come back into your loving mercy, your kindness, and your forgiveness. And I need you to give me the faith to do that which you have called me to do, to live my life at the level of nevertheless. If there's one. Heavenly Father, once again, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for all those who are here. Gracious Master, we ask, O Lord, that you walk with us this week and have us to walk by faith and not by sight. For you also said in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please you. But also you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So Heavenly Father, let us walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Let us talk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Let your Holy Spirit guide us and keep us, Lord. Gracious Master, we thank you once again. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.
Stand to your feet. Let's give God another hand for Pastor Manny. Just lift your hands. Lord, we thank you. We bless you for this vessel that you've sent our way. We're so grateful for Manny, Pastor Manny, his family. So grateful for South Bay Abundant Life Church, Lord, and what you've done over these 4 years, as only you could do, Lord. You made it possible, but not easy. But we thank you, Lord, for the journey with you. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hug someone and you are dismissed. Woo.